Visit with Beatrice Herning, November 2nd, 2000. Well, in the first place, I think I remember you saying once that Harold located your property from down below on the flats. That's how he saw what looked good and chose it.
Well, how it all started was Carl Herning took out a homestead, and when his mother and sisters moved to Fairbanks, then they eventually... Carl moved his mom out to the homestead, you know, eventually. But it just seemed like a wonderful opportunity when Carl went ahead and filed on his, that Harold thought, well, this is beautiful land out here. Well, why don't we do the same thing? So that's the reason he did that.
So do you know when Carl filed? When was that?
Oh, boy. I don't know. We moved out on our homestead in 1951, in February, I believe it was, but we filed on it before that.
Yeah.
So but we had to live on it after a certain period of time, and Carl was already living on his.
So Carl was the first one out.
He was a bachelor, of course, and now that I think about it, I don't think he moved his mother out there. I'm trying to think, because I know she passed away when they lived in town. They had built her a little house there on 9th and Cowles. And the sisters lived there, of course, with her. It just seemed like there was such beautiful land out there that I've always been thankful, you know, that we did file. Earl Herning also filed on a piece.
Okay, that was over where...
by Reese's Road.
Where donkeys are now,
yes,
I think.
Uh-huh, yeah, over there.
Okay, and that was about the same time?
I think it was a little bit later, not much, not much. So there were... And then, I don't know how Walter and Dorothy came to get their piece of ground either. Eventually, it just seemed like the whole family was out there.
Well, yeah, and Ann and George... Well, I assume they did that after they married. Would that have been right? Or was Walter out there before?
Must have been after they were married. I'm trying to think where they lived when they first got married, Walter and Dorothy.
Well, I can find that out. I bet you if I call Walter up,
he'll tell you.
He would tell me.
Right.
What was the state of the road then? Did it... Because I remember hearing at one time that it stopped up at the top of 4 Mile Hill there, and that was Steel Creek Road. Was Hot Springs Road in when you first moved out?
The what?
The Hot Springs Road.
I know it was in terrible shape. It wasn't exactly a road as we'd call it nowadays. I know it didn't go beyond Ackerman's place out on Chin Hot Springs Road, but that's
right,
way beyond.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was Tilly Brockman, something about Tilly, when they first moved out. Well, were they already out there?
They were already out there when we moved in. When we moved out, because we got our water from Henry and Tilly.
He had a well?
He was very nice about that. He let those of us that didn't have a well yet come out there and get water at his place.
Mm. Well, so I remember hearing in relation to the Brockmans, probably when they first moved out, that... As I understood it, Steel Creek Road was the way you got out there, and that it pretty much ended, I thought, up there at the top of the hill. And from there on, it was pretty much a tractor road. This was some write-up about Tilly or something. Mm-hmm. So if you can remember anything about what the road was like, I think that's of interest.
I can sure remember what it was like during breakup and having to be pulled.
Yeah, well, that happened again in, what,
the tractors.
66 when they built the new road.
I don't remember not having a road to where we turned in. Of course, we used to go in by Everhart's Road now.
So did we.
In Kenagora. Yeah, you did, too.
Yeah, see, we came out in 58.
Oh, you did?
There was some change in that time, I'm sure, but not as much as now.
You know, it's a funny thing. I guess the condition of the road evidently didn't make much of an impression upon me.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
I guess we expected the roads to be bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It was just part of homesteading. We sure went through some rough times, you know, homesteading out there.
Yes. But everybody else was in the same boat.
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't think that much about
it. Everybody was trying to help each other, you know, that way. And
well, so when did Fred Anderson show up and how? Do you remember?
Well, he showed up pretty much in the early 50s. We had moved out there in 51, and it seemed like shortly after that he showed up. He needed a place to live, and I don't remember how he and Harold ever got acquainted. The only thing I can remember possibly is that Fred worked for the airlines in some way. He might have done, I don't know, maintenance work or something like that. But then we had this cabin. Now, whose cabin was that at the edge of our field? I'm trying to remember.
Well, I'd wondered. I remember the cabin well, and I've wondered since then precisely where it was located. I think I can almost figure it out.
Yeah.
You can still see a little bit of the old road that went down there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you could have, if the cabin was still there now, I think you could just about see it from Nancy Coon's house, looking over at the edge of the field.
It was in,
you know,
right
that
in
old timer named Frank something.
Fessler?
Fessler.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, it sort of sticks in my mind that cabin might have belonged to him originally.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Now, didn't he have ground over there too, originally?
He was up on Amanita, as far as I know.
Yes, but before that,
yeah.
It seemed to me like he had ground there.
Well, I'd never heard that, but it's very possible.
Uh-huh.
You think he was going to prove up on it and didn't, or something like that?
That part, I don't remember.
Well, that's something the land records might show if anyone wanted to look into it.
Yeah.
We've often wondered whose it was. Somebody thought it was had been a woodcutter's cabin, maybe at some time, going way back when they were still cutting wood for F.E. Company and all that.
I don't remember, but Fred, he was, of course, he had no car or anything, so whenever I went to town for groceries and he needed anything, sometimes he'd ride with me.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing he had me always go do for him when he didn't go with me is go in and buy his cigarettes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And that was always kind of embarrassing for me because I didn't smoke, you know.
And didn't want people to think you did either.
Cigarette. Fred originally came from the Nenana area. And I'm sorry, I just can't help you much on that about Fred. I just don't.
Well, this lady at Foodland's name is Gloria.
Gloria, and she works at Fred Meyer's, Alaska Marketplace.
Right.
Now, I don't know if she still works there or not.
Well, they'll know who she is and where she is.
She was a checker. She just worked stocking shelves and pricing things. She was very close to Fred Anderson. She thought an awful lot of him. And
I think I'll stop there on the way home just to not forget to do something about this.
What do you think about them closing, too?
Well, I'm sorry to see it going.
I am, too. We're really going to miss it in this area.
Yeah, I'm sure it's the closest, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Right now I'm driving out to Fred Meyer's West, and I swore I was never going to do that, but I just eventually had to give in to it, you know.
Yeah, I'm afraid it was going to happen, all right.
Yeah. You don't want to know anything about Carl Lindstrand?
Oh, sure. I want to know something about everybody.
Well, Carl was quite a character. In those days, we didn't keep our doors locked, you know. And he just, I used to swear that he could smell my cooking down the road. Because whenever I had something cooking or baking, he'd always show up.
And that was only about a mile, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was about a mile away from me.
I used to think that. And, you know, he, like if Harold, like on a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning, if Harold didn't have to work or something, we were still laying in bed, he would open up the front door, walk in with his flashlight, and stand at the foot of our bed and shine it in our faces and say, "Hey, it's time to get up." And then he'd go over and shake down our coal and wood stove, you know, to get things going so we could have coffee and breakfast.
Oh, I never heard that.
Oh, yeah, he was quite a character.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Another, I really enjoyed Henry Brockman, too. Of course, he didn't live on our property or anything, but Henry, he always liked to come over and visit. And I think a lot of these guys, you know, got really lonely.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Yeah,
they liked their solitude, but there's times when they like company too.
When they wanted it.
Yeah.
So was he not married to Tilly at that time, early on?
No, I think he was married to Tilly. I think she already had I'm trying to think if she already had the coffee shop, the Peerless.
Yeah, I know she was involved with that, but I don't know when.
Mm-hmm. So. Did you ever go at the Peerless?
I'm not sure if it was there when we came here. I didn't have any reason to go there. I've just seen pictures of it.
But I think of the homesteading days, I think, is my memories of Carl Lindstrand really make me smile. And Fred Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
We were all characters, I guess, out there.
Well, it helped. It helped.
Yeah.
Well, who else was out there? Carl was down the hill, Carl Herning. And then
I must tell you about the forest fire. You know, Harold was always burning brush.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd burn like in the late fall or something like that. Well, the fire was supposed to be out. But by spring, of course, everything in that moss would hold until spring came, and the spring winds, they would whip it out. Well, I never will forget the last time I think Harold had a big fire out there. The flames were just shooting on the tops of the hills, of the trees, rather. Here comes Carl Herney, and he's driving the school bus, and he comes up to my house, and he says, "Hey, Beatrice, did you know that Harold's got a fire going?" And I went out, and here it was, just a blazing. And then he says, "But I can't stay to help you. I've got the bus, I got to go."
Yeah, right.
And I don't remember what I did about that.
Harold wasn't home, of course.
No, of course not. He was never home when I needed him.
How close to the house was that?
It was on the road going down to our lower field.
Oh, okay, down below you.
He had been clearing down there in the bottom field. And, I don't know. I often look back on the days when Harold used to burn brush piles, and we were sure lucky.
Oh, that moss is such a dangerous thing.
Yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. So, yes, we well remember your house fire that time. That involved moss, too, as I remember. Wasn't the moss the insulation?
We were so broke.
Oh, sure.
When we built that place, we didn't have money for insulation, so Harold and had the kids and me and other people out gathering this nice, clean, dry moss up in the forest.
And it did the job.
Oh, it worked great. Until one day when we had a leak in one of our pipes, heating pipes. And so Harold got out the blowtorch to solder it. And it got a little made the moss too hot. I guess it took off.
Yeah, it would have been very dry by then.
Dorothy. I got in the car and drove over to tell Don that we had a fire going in our house. Our roof was on fire, and Dorothy cried up until the time she died. She said she never will forget how I drove up there, and I was just cool and calm as a cucumber. I told them that we had our roof was on fire. She never could get over that. She thought that I was so calm about it, you know.
Oh, dear.
I couldn't do it now. I'm older. I'd probably just do it.
So you lived in town at first? Well, what brought you up here?
Oh, what brought me originally was my dad was with the fire control service in Anchorage. Well, originally, how I met Harold was in McKinley Park.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had the CCC camps there for a couple of summers.
Oh. I didn't know that.
And he had the same group just about every summer, at least the same area group, kids from Chicago, the big city of Chicago. And he really enjoyed working with them because they were so thrilled to be out in the wilderness that. So Mother and I came up to spend the summer with them that one summer with my father. And, of course, here was Harold. He was a ranger there at McKinley Park. And that's how we met. And then I wasn't through high school yet, so we had to go back to Seattle, Mother and I. And then my dad, in the meantime, is through with the CCCs, so he gets a job with Alaska Fire Control. So that's where he worked.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mother and I, of course, moved up then when he got a permanent job In Anchorage.
So that was year-round then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And but he died fighting a little fire out, and it was near Eklutna, if you know
mm-hmm.
where that is.
Mm-hmm. Vaguely, yeah.
He had a little brush fire going there or something. My dad had a heart attack while he was out on that. So that's originally, and then, of course, Harold and I, in the meantime, Harold had quit the Park Service. He wasn't cut out to be an officer of the law. And he didn't, he was with the Game Commission, too. That came later, though, in Fairbanks. He went to work for the Game Commission there again. He didn't like filling out reports. He didn't like wearing a uniform.
Yeah, who does?
So he didn't enjoy that. So that's how Harold got into construction then, was that. But we got married in Anchorage. And then, of course, he had this job with the Fish and Game up here. So that's how we married, moved to Fairbanks, was because of his job.
So you lived in town then for a few years? Or?
Yeah. Let's see. We lived there until Kathleen was about 5, I guess. I think she was about 5 years old. And she was born in 1946. Yeah, we moved out to the homestead when she was 5.
Okay, so I would have been about 51.
Harold built a brand new house there facing 9th Avenue. And that was really something, leaving on this beautiful home I had and moving out to the homestead where I didn't have water and no electricity either.
Oh, boy.
Didn't even have electricity.
How long before you got electricity?
You want some more coffee?
Yeah, a half a cup would be enough.
So anyway, it took a lot of courage to do that, and like I said, I was younger then, Bruce.
Yes, it makes a lot of difference.
You can do a lot of things when you're young. But, anyway, it was a good life. I feel like we were very fortunate to, at the time, to have the opportunities we had.
Indeed, indeed. A lot of people now would envy us.
Look at home. We're at such beautiful ground and be able to file on so much,
Well, you had such an ideal one with your view.
Oh, yeah, that was really pretty. And I wonder if anybody's going to do anything with that lot that had our raspberry patch on and our garden on.
Well, isn't that part of what David bought?
No, he doesn't own on the other side of the road where the greenhouse is.
Oh, I thought
he doesn't
did.
Own that. Not unless he's bought a piece from
So them. Has it been sold?
Oh, yes. They were friends. He's a fireman. He's a friend of
Alan. Oh, I knew he bought...
Alan.
Yeah, I knew he bought that one lot, but I didn't realize it extended all the way.
Yeah, it goes
there.
Clear to Herning Road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's moved some stuff down there, but there hasn't been much change.
Oh.
I mean, it's just some odd equipment, a little shack of some kind, storage
really?
Place.
Oh, no.
I think if he does anything, he'll do it well, but...
I've never experienced that before, to sell anybody a piece of ground like that and then get our price, and then to get a letter from the buyer thanking us for selling it to him.
They were so thrilled
with that.
Scott.
I can't think of their names.
His first name is Scott, and his wife's name is Donna. And she used to help look after Greta. She used to help Greta in the house.
Oh, did they?
They live over on Rissy Road. Oh, the name will come to me, maybe.
Yeah,
but,
I can't think of the names. It doesn't matter anyway, but they just seem to be so thrilled. And, of course, Alan and Cheryl were happy because they're friends of theirs. And
Well, I think they would be a nice addition to the neighborhood.
I think eventually they'll build a nice home.
I expect
eventually.
So.
Funny, I can't think of their names.
Well,
you didn't shut that off yet.
No,
I don't think. You need to go. Billy's been a blessing for me because... I wouldn't be able to live like I live now.
Exactly.
If we hadn't had that land. You know, what little Social Security I had, I would never be able to exist on that.
That's right. Land is still so important.
And I just feel like Harold and I were so blessed to be able to live like that, raise our children out there, although they griped. Norman never griped about it. But Kathleen did, being a girl. She thought she should be in the middle of all the social life, But she was awful good about it, too. And the gardens we grew. Harold was I have this memory of him coming in with big smile on his face with these two great big huge buckets of peas he just picked.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always so happy. Here are all these peas now I had to shell.
Yeah, that you got to shell.
Freeze. And
freeze.
Same way with the string beans, you know. He loved
the garden. What was he able to build for you to live in right at first? I suppose it was the start of your basement that you lived in all those years.
Well, that's what we moved into, was that basement.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was what, a block basement?
Block basement,
mm-hmm.
With a flat roof, which is the biggest mistake anybody in this country can make, is putting on a flat roof.
Oh, well, you were.
I see some around town even, and mm-hmm. I think, oh, boy. In fact, there was one right across the street here, and they've torn the building down since then, but it had a blue tarp over it all the time.
For a long time, yeah.
And I thought, oh,
well, now,
boy.
Now, did Stubbings build that for you by any chance, or did they come along? I know they came along later.
He worked on it.
Yeah, because that was his,
he did.
His career.
Yeah, Mary, she was quite a character, too, wasn't she?
Yes.
Mary and Fred.
Right.
And their kids, Art.
Well, I think we met them, but we didn't see enough of them to really remember.
Mary loved to visit, too, you know, and of course she didn't get around a whole lot. She was way overweight and everything, but she was such a dear, sweet person. She really was neat.
Well, then the Severns moved in about the same time we did.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually they were maybe out there a summer. Maybe it was the summer we moved in the fall or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then they lived in town some winters because the road was so bad.
Yeah, right. We never did have, you know, much relationship.
Oh, they were just far enough away.
Except arguing with them a few times about cutting through the woods.
Right.
So I didn't want them going that way.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go out and block the road so they couldn't go way, and then they ended up driving over it or something. They had a Jeep or something. It takes all kinds to make the world around. But I think when I look back, the young people back in the 50s, early 50s and 40s, they had so many more opportunities, I think, than now as far as acquiring land and that.
That's for sure.
We just were so fortunate. And
well, you were fortunate before you worked for everything you got.
They worked hard. They were all hard workers,
mm-hmm.
every one of them. There wasn't a lazy herning, and the sisters were the same way. Anne and Dorothy worked
I know they did.
They were so hard workers.
Tell me about the Aikens. I just remember the name, and
Velma.
Oh, no, excuse me, I don't mean Aiken. Ackerman. The Ackermans.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have very little recollection. I think she came to Homemakers early on.
Were you out there when we had the Homemakers Club?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't remember you coming, but...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I was pretty active in it. And, but I was remembering that she came very early. I think I'd mentioned it in my diary that I keep. But I don't have much of a picture of her. They were on Beyond Donkeys.
That was the end of the road, the way I remember it. Didn't go beyond that hardly. To go to the springs, then, you just have to follow a trail at that time. I didn't know them very well. I think she was much younger than him. They had a boy. They had a little boy.
Sounds right.
She was a redhead. I remember that, and very tiny. Wasn't she a tiny little person?
Sounds right. Which side of the road was their place on?
As you drive out, they were on the left-hand side.
On the left.
Mm-hmm. The log cabin is still there. It looks just the same.
Well, would that be close to Day's place?
Who?
Jim Day's house, and, well, where Phyllis is now, Phyllis Herning.
No, beyond.
Beyond that?
Yeah, beyond that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit beyond, I think.
All up around Bob Straits?
I think even beyond that, wasn't it?
Well, this is what I can't remember.
I might have to drive out there sometime and take a look. I've kind of forgotten.
I think they must not have been around too much after...
You know, I don't even remember what Mr. Ackerman did. Yeah. He was a little man, too.
Mm-hmm.
And very quiet. I don't think he was very outgoing as far as getting acquainted. I don't
know who would remember them, who's been out there longer than you and I have.
If we could just revive Tilly and Henry, you'd get a lot of information, wouldn't you?
Well, what about the Wards? What about Charlie Ward? When did they come out there? Do you have any idea?
And I'm trying to think where he lived.
Okay,
Maddie would give you a lot of information.
Yeah, we'll have to go talk to her.
Okay, I understand she was at your place for some political coffee.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We had